Welcome to today's interview on Priteon.com. You're going to love this one because have you heard about PMAs or private membership associations? They're being used, they're a vehicle under common law, I believe, that's being used by people all over the country and even around the world in order to protect privacy and to protect rights of individuals to interact with each other and to engage in sometimes trade and commerce with each other in private organizations. And so our guest today is Mike Colom, and he's the founder of a website that focuses on PMAs and other things, and it's called therenegadenation.org. Yeah, I got it. Therenegadenation.org is the website, and he joins us today to talk about PMAs and so much more. Welcome, Mike. It's great to have you on the show with us.
Welcome. Thank you so much for having me here. Appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. This is exciting because, as I was just mentioning in the pre-show talk, it seems like everybody I know is in the process of forming a PMA in one way or another. It's like suddenly it's sweeping across the nation. So could, for those, you know, that don't understand what is a PMA, let's say, could you just give us a quick version? What is this and why is it suddenly so popular?
You bet. So, I mean, they've been around a long time. Coming out of Prohibition probably is when it started. When we had counties in Texas and Oklahoma and in Utah where they were not allowed to sell any alcohol because they stayed dry. And the bars and restaurants and the owners there, they said, no way, we're going to continue to do this. And they developed the PMA's structure to be able to operate in a private. And the whole thing, our Constitution, our Supreme Court precedences that we have allow us to operate in a private. And that's the whole thing is that there's basically two sets of laws, one for the public, one for the private. And that's not my viewpoint. That's one of the judges in a Supreme Court ruling that states that. And we get to operate in a private in a different domain. So you have your public jurisdictions where they have their rules, regulations, statutes, and codes, and then you have private. And you think of it, really easy essence is to think about, operating, my wife and I are at your home, and we're having a glass of wine, we're eating dinner, and our friend Joe comes in, and Joe brings a case of wine, and we sit down, and we like one of the bottles, and I want to buy one. I say, hey, Joe, I want to buy a bottle of wine. And Joe says, yeah, no problem, and he sells me that bottle of wine. We don't need the county or the city or the state to be able to tell us whether I can buy that bottle of wine from Joe or not. We do that, and that's called a private transaction. Article 1, Section 10 of the Constitution affords us the ability to do unlimited business transactions, period, without the interaction of the state and or our neighbor. So
okay.
That's how and why we're able to do these things.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. And what you're talking about and what a lot of people I know are doing is just doing it at a little larger scale than just two or three people, right? A private membership organization can be hundreds of people, thousands of people. There's no, legal size limit, is there?
You know, it's in people's mind, I think. And and that's a debatable piece for me to think about. I've had people say, well, private is private and it's small by being private. But, it doesn't really have to be. Where does it say that? That's somebody's idea in their head. There's no structure or rule. It's basically our Supreme Court and our Constitution and our God-given rights give us the ability to do what we're doing today. And unfortunately today, with the public jurisdiction being the way it is, they kind of force us into this hole of being in a private membership association to be able to show, hey, this is what we're doing, this is how we're doing it, and we're illegal to do it. So now we're just invoking our rights. And I think that, we didn't have to do this 100 years ago. Why should we have to do it today? I guess because the perceived authority thinks that they have power and control in everything, every single aspect of our life, every day.
Yeah, exactly. But it's great that these tools exist. And so I think, isn't it part of what you offer to people is a service to help them set up a PMA? Or what's even required? Do you just declare it? I mean, you just, it's a PMA now. I mean, what do you do?
So what we do is we actually write documents. We write articles of association because in essence, what a private membership association really is an unincorporated association. Because we want to interact with the public when we do this and to pull people into the private, we need a bank account, which is public. We need an EIN, which is public, all these things. So we have to figure out how to operate that, and it's operated through an unincorporated association. So we developed that document. We developed the charter bylaws. If you want to be a church ministry, we do a lot of churches. They're set up as 508c1a ministries. And you have to actually operate as a church and do those things. So there's definitely criteria on that one. And then we offer the other document we do is the membership application, which allows people to get all the people to sign the membership agreement. And that's the important part of it.
Right. So then once you help people set up all these documents, then Are they able to go open bank accounts based on these articles of association?
You bet. You take the articles and the bylaws and you get an EIN first. EIN process is very simple. We do it online today. Get the EIN, and then I give you a little banking document that helps you open a bank account. And then you get your EIN and go right to the bank, open your bank account. And then you can operate in commerce. And we're really not in commerce, if you really think about it. We're in trade, right? Because we're in the private. So right. We don't operate in commerce. So we pull people out of commerce and we pull them into private trade.
Well, okay, so that's fascinating, because here's a question that, I mean, this is kind of bombshell news here for everybody watching and perhaps for you as well. But, you know, I've launched a new show called Decentralize.tv. And frankly, I'd like to have you back on that show. That's with my co-host, Todd Pittner. And it's all about decentralized living. And you know, frankly, we probably should have done this interview for that show, but we'll have you back if you're open to it. But
love to.
What I'm hearing from all these people that are setting up PMAs is the following question, which Todd and I are working on a solution with top level people around the world, that the people setting up these PMAs, they want to have their own digital currency within the PMA. And they're asking me, what can we use to create our own digital currency? And I currently know three platform ecosystems that are, two of them are blockchain based, that can allow people to do that. But it's not a simple thing. I mean, you have to think about tokenomics and so on. But talk to us about, if you would, what you understand about using your own, you know, association currency. It doesn't even have to be digital. I mean, couldn't an association just print its own wooden nickels, so to speak, and just use those, just decide that we're going to use these amongst ourselves as a kind of trade of value? Isn't that legal?
Oh, it is. You just can't put a dollar denomination on there, right? There you can have you can put a five or a one or a 10 or a 100 on it. Yeah, that's a federal offense. You know, the Fed owns everything, right? So yeah, that wouldn't be what you want to do, but you could do it for value of some type in structure. And that's what's nice about silver and gold, right? Because it's by the ounce or by the weight or whatever piece, you know, it's by weight, period. And I think that we're going to see a lot of that popping up where a lot of organizations are using gold and silver. I have a lot of people pay me in silver, a bunch.
Oh, really? Yeah. Wow.
Oh, yeah, you bet. A lot of people send me silver or cash. I've had a few people send me gold. We don't do credit cards anymore. The grocery store, we had an issue with our grocery store where we got a large deposit and they didn't like it. They went ahead and paid that. And then they held our account for 93 days.
Yeah. I'm not surprised.
It's ridiculous. You know, so, and then just getting out of that whole system and that scenario, we take it online for one item only, or basically two, the membership agreements on the Renegade Nation. That's it. I don't take them inside the store. For any of the things that we do, and we do a lot of different stuff besides PMAs, and we don't take them for anything. So it's all cash basis.
Well,
and one with a check also.
You got to get on board with the privacy crypto. I'm telling you, because
I agree.
Yeah, like Monero, and we know about some projects that are quite amazing. And first of all, we can transfer value instantly.
Yep.
And secondly, because they're privacy coins, no agency, nobody can know what your wallet balance is or who you sent to or who you receive from. And yet you can still trade Monero for cash, or you can trade Monero for gold or whatever. I mean, Monero is the number one privacy coin right now, but I think this is why a lot of PMAs are asking me this very question about crypto. Like, they want to create their own token, because gold and silver are absolutely wonderful face-to-face in person, but then some of these PMAs involve people from a very wide geographic area, and they need a system. And some of them are just using Monero right now, but they want their own.
You gotta be able to go to the grocery store and buy groceries.
Right? Yeah.
The true real system is you need to be able to go outside of your system to be able to use that money somewhere else. Inside of a PMA is great, but then how big is that PMA gonna be, right? And the people that are there to shop, but it'd be really nice to have a currency that you can go outside anywhere you want to with it, like a debit card.
Exactly.
There are systems that are out there that are being built, and I'll talk to you about one offline that's coming that you're going to see pretty quick. That's going to be amazing. And it is structured. It's backed by gold. It is absolutely incredible.
Oh, I'd love to hear about that. And along those lines, by the way, gold backs, right? So I hear about a lot more people using gold backs, because the gold is actually embedded in the actual bill, and people can trade those. And, you know, the one doesn't mean $1. It means 1/1,000th of an ounce of gold.
Right.
Pretty cool.
It is very cool. And it's a way to run that Fed rule, right?
Yeah, because it's not denominated in dollars. It's denominated in essentially grains or something close to grains. But yeah, tell me about your system. What were you going to talk about? Some other system?
Oh, so it's called IPMB. And you can go on my website on the renegadenation.org website, and you can go, there's a spot for it. We're going to actually put that in probably, you know, today is Tuesday, probably by the end of the week, beginning of next week, it'll be on there listed, and you'll be able to go right into it and look at it and basically reach out to me and or one of the owners of it. So,
but what is it?
It's a gold company that has their back and all their tokens with gold. Their NFTs are all backed by gold. Physical gold in vaults around the world.
So you can purchase NFTs and they're backed by gold. Can you then, I guess people could exchange the NFTs with each other as if, you know, basically receipts for gold is what you're saying.
Well, yeah, you can, but you can also store it in and get a debit card with it. You can put it in an account and pull a debit card out of your wallet. You can do whatever you want to with your wallet. And you can do a lot of stuff with it. It's going to have a lot of flexibility. Yeah, it is actually, the entire thing is very, very ingenious in the way it's set up.
Is it based on Bitcoin?
No, it's based on just their gold NFTs.
It's their own
crypto system that they put together complete 100%. It's getting ready to be dumped on Coinbase. They've been working with Brian Armstrong over there. It's right there. It's ready to rock and roll. Probably going to see it roll out in 3 or 4 weeks.
Well, this is fascinating. Can you trade the NFTs? Can you redeem them for the physical gold?
And there is going to be a point where you can do that. Yes, you bet. You can buy physical gold.
At some point? But you're saying maybe not
right now.
Not right out of the gate.
Not right out of the gate.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You're going to own the coins, the cryptocurrency pieces of it, and the NFTs. You can have any size NFT you want as far as that goes as well. All the tokens are all going to be, I think, a certain amount of grams, and then all the NFTs can be actually minted to whatever you want them to be, and you can actually own those and store them in your own.
I see. So I'm on the website right now, ipmb.io, and here it is. It talks about the gold back. And this is the first I'm hearing about this, from the mine to the cloud, the tokenization of gold. Okay. Well, fascinating.
So right now, until it opens, because you can't go buy it yet on Coinbase, it's not going to be there for 3 or 4 weeks.
Yep.
I can offer, and I have offered to me friends and family, and I can get that out to anybody I want to across the board. Doesn't matter however much or however little you want. Well, actually it starts at 10K, but however much you want is well above that. But you need to contact me and go through me in order to get that. And then instead of it being it's going to roll out at $200 to $250, and then they're offering it right now at $100. So you can get through me and I can get it to you for $100. As soon as it's going to go at $200 to $250.
Okay. I don't understand all that, because I think if it's just backed by gold, wouldn't it just be tied to the price of an ounce of gold?
Yes. There's way more involved in it than that.
Okay.
A whole bunch more. Because the trading platform and all the things they're doing, it goes way beyond that. And they're you're going to see some movement on it.
Okay. All right. Well, interested to learn more.
Website, and you look at stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe offline you can introduce us, so we could look at maybe having them on the show. Decentralized TV could be an interesting conversation, because I love gold and silver and private digital money all at the same time. So if you can maybe combine those, that's interesting. But anyway, let's not make the show entirely about them. I apologize. Yeah. Let's go back to your site, The Renegade Nation. So, all right, in addition to the PMA consulting or service that you offer, do you help people defend their PMAs when they are attacked by local county authorities? How about that?
I do. Yes, we do indeed. I started off, and you know, 2.5 years ago, protecting ourselves. And I ended up hiring an attorney at first. And after about a month, I was taken to court. And after about a month, I said, you know, I can do a better job, and I do what I want to do with this. So I ended up firing my attorney and then went direct. And the judge is like, oh, you shouldn't do that. You know, you don't know what you're getting into. And they cautioned me, you know, every single time we went in there, they cautioned me about it. And then basically 2 times ago when we went in court before they switched to the new judge, because it was actually going to go to trial, the judge, she looked at the DA and she goes, I think you're going to be really surprised on how this case is going to turn out, to the DA. And then the next judge is the one who threw it out. I've got about, out of the hundreds of PMAs we have across the board, most of the country, most of our PMAs are in the medical profession, either doctors or nurses or clinics or, you know, some form of medicine and healing. We have about 23 or 24 different people or businesses that have been attacked in the last, 2.5 years. And all the ones that stayed with me to help them, we help them through with what's called administrative process. I've helped them all the way through it, and they've come out clean, and they just go away, kind of like sweep them under the rug, just like they did with my case. I handled my case differently. I wanted to put mine in court because I won that court case precedence, in which they wouldn't allow me to get, and the rest of them, they just go away. The only two people or two businesses that I wasn't successful in, they both midway through, or actually right at the beginning, they decided to hire an attorney, and then they're in there fighting with an attorney right now.
Wait a second. You're saying that the courts, they sweep this under the rug. Explain more, because it sounds like you're saying the courts don't want a case to be decided so that there's a precedent set about PMAs.
We have old precedences, and when I brought up those old precedences in the courtroom, I put it in basically a motion to dismiss our case, and in that piece of it, the DA came back and the judge came back, and she asked the DA, you know, what do you think? And then the DA goes, well, those are all laws we don't use anymore. And I started laughing. I mean, it's like it was a joke, and I said, I object. And I'm going to appeal this. And the judge goes, well, I tend to agree with her on, and those are just laws that we don't tend to use anymore. And I said, well, I'm appealing this case. And she said, you have every right to. And they understood that I was not going to just roll over and stop fighting them. And then they asked me the next time I came in court, the first thing they said is that, can you guys get to an understanding and just kind of take care of this on your own? And you guys can figure it out. And I go, absolutely. I go, all I need is a letter from the DA apologizing and to throw my case out, and I'm good.
You know, the other thing that strikes me in all of this is that, and this was pointed out to me by a guest that I interviewed last week, is that every attorney and every judge is a member of a private membership association called the Bar Association.
Yes, 100%. And they're all committed, and that's their first line of responsibility. It's not to the client, it's to the Bar Association.
Right. So that's a private group. It's not a government organization of any kind. It's no one's ever been publicly elected to run the Bar Association.
The DNC, the RNC, all those are all private membership associations as well.
Yes, exactly. So here it is, you know, rules for thee, but not for me, right?
Okay, there you go. That perceived authority, right? We can do whatever we want to do and you're our slaves.
Exactly.
And that happens because people just let them do it. It's not because they took it away or changed stuff. We just allow it to happen. And then time goes on and then it becomes acceptable.
Right.
It's sad.
You mentioned that a lot of your clients are running healthcare or medicine or wellness centers. So could you explain what's the use of PMAs under those conditions? Is it because they're doing alternative treatments or what is it all about?
That's part of it. During COVID is probably when I started doing that the most, where we got a bunch of nurses who were helping with COVID and lost their jobs. I had a bunch of doctors and nurses lose their jobs over COVID because they wouldn't get vaccinated, right? So the PMA, we allowed them to put a PMA in place and be able to operate. I had probably, 30 or 40 nurses running around during COVID helping patients across the country with what they needed to do to help them rather than let them go in the hospital and get killed. And we had a bunch of doctors doing the same thing. So I had one of the doctors came to me. He was an MD, and he had lost his license for basically speaking the truth about COVID. And a friend of his, a doctor on Facebook, said something, and then he agreed with it. And then the state saw that somehow. Somebody turned him in, and they took away his license in about 3 weeks.
Wow, just for agreeing with a tweet.
Just for agreeing with something. And then we put him in a PMA, and he went right back to work. Yeah. The thing is that there is a Supreme Court precedence that states, and it's called NAACP versus Button. And in that precedence, what happened is we had the NAACP was, they had members of their group were helping people that weren't members of that group out in the community and to be able to protect themselves from the law and the bad law portion of it and for coming after them for different things. And the state of Alabama didn't like that. And what they did was they took them to court, and then because they said these people were being solicited and being helped by non-attorneys, which is a federal crime, right? Uh-huh. In their books, the way they set it up in their jurisdiction with their, their rules and regulations and statutes and codes. And they basically took it all the way to Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said, hey, you know what? What you need a license for in the public, if you're in the private, you don't need a license. And which allowed attorneys that are allowed people to operate as an attorney who weren't attorneys. So with that precedence, allows doctors to operate and do their practice without a license. So there's doctors. I put PMAs, a couple, typically the people who don't have to prescribe, that don't need a license, I've got multiples of chiropractors who came in, and they're functional medicine doctors, right? That actually know how to heal bodies and help people, and they didn't need to prescribe anything, so they threw their license away the day we wrote the yep. PMA. Gone. Didn't need it.
Well, that's fascinating, because the state medical licensing boards are, it's just a cartel of big pharma criminals.
Exactly.
As far as I'm concerned, I mean, even the Texas Medical Board, it's an absolute joke. It's run by big pharma. And of course, they wield the state licensing boards as a bludgeon over doctors to control their speech. We saw that during COVID, just like the example you gave. If a doctor even tries to prescribe ivermectin, which saved lives, and I've used ivermectin so many times over the last several years, and yet if you prescribed ivermectin, they could take your license away. Or if you question the vaccine, they take your license away. So the state medical boards are not about protecting the public. They're actually, at this point, they're about protecting the monopoly over medicine.
It's big pharma. It's all exactly what it is, monopoly over medicine. It's control. That's just one aspect of the control over our lives, right? We have the medical, we have the food, and then we have the education. And it's those three bases. That's what they attack the most of, because those are the things that everybody needs every day. We lost freedoms in that, right? Where people just gave them up. And it's amazing to see how this country of strong, free-willed people, the majority just folded when they said jump. They said, okay, how high and how many times?
Yeah.
And it's sad. Fortunately, there's enough people to stay strong and to help lead other people. Because let's face it, most people don't like confrontation. But as soon as you get enough people out there to show a precedence, then they'll jump on board, which is what we needed to do.
So it seems to me that the PMA structure is a very successful model for all kinds of things. And it could really revolutionize the way that people interact with each other for things like services, but even in commerce. Like you said, you keep mentioning this grocery store. Did you have a PMA grocery store, and was it selling, raw milk, raw cheese, things like that? Yeah.
We opened our grocery store right in the heart of what was going on with COVID, and in that store we had raw milk, we have all kind, we had goat milk, cattle milk, we had eggs, we had meats that weren't USDA, we had from local farmers and ranchers, we had everything in there. We still do. We have a lot of products in there. We today it's a natural health food store with medicinal herbs, and then that whole section is just it's good food. It's all real healthy food, which is what we promote. Food can either be the destroyer of your life or the heart of your energy, right?
Absolutely. Where is this store located for our audience if they want to visit?
Yeah, you bet. We're in Northern California in Nevada County, and we're in a little town called Penn Valley. And we're right down Penn Valley. We have our ranch is 30 acres right there, and we've got a big, huge building. The grocery store encompasses a little teeny section of that. And then we have we call it a healing hub, and it's functional medicine. My wife is en route on being a PA, and she's got a bunch of certificates, and she's working and helping people today. And then we have a gym that's part of that people can transition from one section of health into the other, just to help everything
possible. So I'm just now realizing, you just told me that you're in California. I didn't realize that until just now. And I'm realizing how much courage you have in taking it, against such tyrants in California. As you know, years ago, James Stewart from Rawson, who I interviewed, he was thrown in the LA County jail for selling raw milk and raw cheese, and they raided his store and they confiscated $50,000 worth of raw products and they dumped them all in the sewer.
Yeah, that's theft.
That's government theft of private property.
Theft.
Absolutely.
That is absolutely theft.
Well, and they came in with guns drawn too, by the way. So it was gunpoint intimidation, theft, and then they threw him in jail.
That's crazy. Yes. And those are the people that should be in jail. And he has a constitutional right violation there. There's a thing called color of law. And all of our perceived authority people that are put in power, which they shouldn't have that much power, they think that no matter what they do, they're protected because they have that position that's with a city, county, or state, or federal government. And they don't. And what happens, and it's right in the USC code, I think it's 271, 272, something like that. And if they come in there and they offend your civil rights, which those people trespassed on him, they stole from him, he has a legitimate lawsuit on those people. And then I would encourage him to go after them if he hasn't.
Well, I guess I'll have to ask him about that. But I see more conflicts like that coming. You know, they've attempted to shut down your store, as you said, but they didn't come in with guns drawn and steal everything from you, did they?
No, not at all. And we don't have a police department. I'm in a rural county, and we have a sheriff that's, you know, pretty constitutional. And then they when the sheriff drives by, and the deputies, they wave and honk their horn at us, and they know who we are. We have some that shop there. So we don't have that same issue as a corrupt police department.
But it doesn't mean that Newsom can't gather up a bunch of goons from the Capitol and drive up there.
I could basically have a gate on my property. It's gated, and they'd be trespassing. There's a trespassing sign on there.
I don't think they give a shit, frankly.
They probably don't. Yeah. And it's a situation where I'd call my sheriff, and my sheriff would probably come out and arrest him. The sheriff is the most powerful person in our county.
Yeah.
Way beyond the highway patrol, you know, which is Newsom's, you know, force. Yeah. They don't have the power that the sheriff does, and we'd get the sheriff involved in a heartbeat.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, just can't drive on people's property and trespass and think that you can do whatever you want to do. That's why we have a court system. That's why we have a process for that.
Newsom doesn't know this.
I know. There's that perceived authority part. Right. It's going to be through education. And we need to educate him right along with the rest of the people that don't understand what our rights really are. And our rights are the Constitution. And basically, when we developed our Constitution, we had the same rights as the king, right? That's who we were. We were sovereign in our country, same rights as the king, which means we are in the king's position. And then we created the government. And the government cannot be in charge of the sovereign. We started the government. It's our government. And they can't do the things they're doing. And they just do it and do it and do it because we have too many people that are complacent. And we need to change it. Stuff's got to happen.
Well, and absolutely, we are changing it. And I think it's really exciting what you're doing with the PMA's concept. So I want to encourage people to check out your website again, therenegadenation.org, to learn more. And then I want to mention too, Mike, you know, look, we're going to be helping a couple of organizations run some kind of a crypto token pilot project just for their own organization and see how that goes and see if we can get some success stories about that. And, you know, folks, it's not about speculation or earning money. It might be just limited supply. It's just among a small organization to have a means of exchanging value amongst themselves. That's all it is. It's just utility. But this could be game changing. I mean, imagine if people interacted with each other based on consent rather than coercion.
You're right. Just the way it used to be. Right.
Yeah.
That's part of what we're doing. I can see, and before I even got into a PMA, which was the grocery store was the first one, I envisioned our country with millions of PMAs.
Uh-huh. Millions.
And when we hit a million PMAs, it is going to snowball. It's all about the people who weren't brave enough to jump on that bandwagon. When they see that million PMAs out there and operating and being successful and being able to invoke your rights. And that's a big part of the PMAs that drop and that stop are ones that don't know how to invoke their rights and got in the wrong spot, got some advice from the wrong people or however they dealt with it. I'm going to open a PMA today and life's going to be rosy and no one's going to bug me. I guarantee you, if you're out there, you know, if you're out there showing stuff and doing things, they're going to come at you. They're not going to come at everybody. I've done hundreds of PMAs. I've got 23 that have been attacked. But at some point in time, depending on how vocal you are and how much you are out there and also what the risk level is of what you're doing, you're going to get attacked and you need to invoke your rights. You need to do it properly. And when we have enough businesses out there doing that, PMAs are going to become more powerful. We're going to start just by precedence of what happened. The local, you know, city, county and state governments are going to start understanding that, hey, you know, we don't want to fight that because we've seen it lose too many times. We've seen us lose too many times.
Right. Well, what about the legal profession? It seems like a lot of lawyers need to get up to speed on this because they're not. And I've had cases where I've gone to attorneys on things and I've found that they can be clueless.
Pretty much constitutional classes were an elective in bar school. They really are elective. And they don't understand it to some extent. And then quite honestly, it's everything that they're not taught. And it's really not part of what the bar wants you to be in, right? Because we live in a non-statutory world. And that's the attorneys are statutory just by nature, right? That's that whole statutory piece of it. To pull you into court, the attorney's job basically is to build a big old huge expensive book of investigative stuff and then to get your case, lowered down a little bit. So you still pay something, you still do something, but they've extracted money from you. The court's extracted money from you. That's really their job, the way I see it, and what history tells me and what I see in history with it. And very, very seldom do they actually get people off. And most of it's just negotiated down.
Yeah, well, but then also the court system often, you know, completely ignores the real criminals in society as well.
So it's so weird, isn't it? That is unbelievable. And we see that in our county so much. It's so sad to watch the revolving door of our county with the people who actually need help or are actual real criminals. And I've actually heard people that talk about, hey, if you're going to do something illegal, go to Nevada County, do it, because they're just going to send you away. They'll send you home. It's like, what? And I live here.
Wow. Well, that's a little bit disturbing, but yeah, I'm not surprised to hear that. Okay. Any last thoughts you want to leave with us for today's interview? I mean, it's been fascinating. I know we've only scratched the surface, but what else have we not covered?
Well, I think we kind of covered a pretty good range of things. What we're doing. Oh, a couple of the things that I do. I do private trusts. One of the things that we do. And then also we help people. And I don't know if you've heard or, you know, in your influence of what a revocation of election is, that whole process. And we do those as well and help people get their taxes squared away.
A revocation of election.
Revocation of election. Basically, when you took and you first filled out your first 1040, you went and filled out that 1040 and you elected to pay taxes at that point in time. And that's called an election. And inside the IRC 26, which is the IRS code book, when that happens, you've elected to pay taxes, and then you're due to put in a 1040 every subsequent year for as long as you either work or until you die. And what a revocation does, which also talks about right in the IRS book, is that you can revocate your election, which is to rescind that contract, because that's what the 1040 is. It's a contract that you sign and get yourself into taxes. Before you sign that first tax 1040, you weren't due to pay any taxes. Our taxpayers are in Washington, D.C., and they live in Washington, D.C., and or they work for the federal government. And everybody else is basically a resident of their state, which is a totally another story, long, long thing.
Right, a different interview.
They can reach out to me, and I can help them through that process and give them a bunch of information, educational information they can learn on and move forward to be able to free themselves a little bit more from the basically tyranny of what we see today in their, you know, their perceived authority.
Yeah. Okay. Well, fascinating. Fascinating subjects for our time. And here we are living in an unfree world, but there are methods to find freedom. So I want to thank you, Mike, for sharing this with us and encourage people to check out your website again, therenegadenation.org, for information about PMAs. And you have directories and a blog and some other things there as well. So very interesting stuff. And I'll keep my eye on that gold-backed token or whatever that is. And see what that looks like. Could be interesting. We love precious metal as well, as it holds value. So thanks for bringing that up. And thanks for being here today. It's been a fascinating talk.
I want to thank you for putting me on. I appreciate it very much. You have a wonderful day. And
absolutely.
Thanks again.
Yeah. And as a guest, you answer questions very quickly with a lot of information, and you don't just keep running on with talk. So I thank you for that. You've actually kept it very compact. But so thank you for that. And again, the website, therenegadenation.org. And thank you for watching, folks. I'm Mike Adams here of Brighteon.com. Another fascinating interview about liberty and freedom. And check it out and see if you might be able to benefit from this information or what Mike Colomb is offering. It sounds really interesting. And I do hear a lot more people talking about setting up PMAs. So I'm sure you're going to be hearing about them much more in the days ahead. And you might even be setting up your own for some reason. It could be maybe the reasons we mentioned here in the interview. Anyway, thanks for watching. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com. Take care, everybody. Today's interview is brought to you by HealthRangerStore.com, where we have hundreds of different nutritional and superfood products available that can help support and enhance your health. And by the way, one of my favorite categories that we have, it's called astaxanthin. And I've got some on my desk here. We have two different brandings of astaxanthin. One is our Chief Originals, and then we have the Hawaiian astaxanthin over there that is Health Ranger branded. It's the same molecule in slightly different formats, but astaxanthin is the most powerful fat-soluble carotenoid antioxidant that comes from nature. And this is what turns salmon flesh pink, by the way. astaxanthin, it has a very rich, deep, reddish or pinkish color. And it's an incredible molecule. You can read about it online. Just search for astaxanthin, A-S-T-A-X-A-N-T-H-I-N. I've been using it for, I don't know, almost 20 years at this point. And I think it's remarkable in how it supports my lifestyle and my health habits and my healing as well. So check it out at healthrangerstore.com. Not only do we have astaxanthin, but many other supplements there as well, including premium Manuka honey, which is part of a healing product. We've got certified organic milk powder. We've got organic turmeric gold plus with black pepper and ginger and many other incredible products, hundreds of them to choose from across all these categories. Check it all out and help support this program at healthrangerstore.com.